Verse 38. This is going to be our point verse for a series we're going to do over the next couple of weeks or so. Kind of an interesting thought that came about for this theory, series. John 6:38 says this, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Jesus came down to do the will of the Father, the one who sent him. Now, we've been doing several mini-series on Jesus, character traits and qualities of Jesus. And the Lord put on my heart, talk about Jesus the Christ. Christ is not his last name. A lot of times we say Jesus Christ. For those that don't know, that's not his last name. The word Christ in Greek literally means anointed, and in Hebrew it means anointed and Messiah. So Jesus the anointed, or Jesus the Messiah. That's the literal definition of Christ. What do we know about Jesus? He was 100% God. He was also 100% man. He also didn't start his ministry till he was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember that. His ministry took off when he was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. Which really makes you think about a lot of times those who are in ministry. And one of the things the Lord put on our hearts, those who are going to be future leaders in this church, one of their qualifications isn't just being a good Christian, but being baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, no matter how many years they've been walking with the Lord. He didn't, even though he was 100% God, he didn't operate as God on earth. He operated as a man filled with the Spirit of God. He was still fully man. And if you're not sure what that means, most of you know I'm a cartoon junkie, especially Marvel and all that stuff, but also some Disney tunes are okay. And one of my favorites is Aladdin. And if you remember, those who watched Aladdin, you know the scene when Princess Jasmine dressed like a beggar and came out in the street? She might have looked like a beggar. She might have tried to act like a beggar, but she was still the princess with that authority. So Jesus was here in full humanity, but he still had the Spirit of God inside him and the power of God flowing through him. And why it's important to keep this in mind is our perception, how we see things, leads to how we believe in things, leads to our belief system and our operating system. And this series that we're going to do over the next few weeks, Jesus the Christ, we're going to look at Jesus as Christ in three different ways. One, today, is going to be Jesus, the crucified Christ. And what does that mean? Next week is going to be Jesus, the resurrected Christ. And what does really that mean? And then Jesus, the ascended or transfigured Christ in heaven. So, and what's important to note about these things is some of us, and as we get into this series, we might see ourselves, because those who just preach salvation and that's it are going to have a heavy leaning towards limiting Jesus to just being the crucified Christ. Then those who go a little further are going to accept the call as Jesus, the risen Christ. But then those who are going to be truly filled and walking and living to the fullness of who Jesus was are going to include all three components equally and will also be relating to Jesus, the ascended or glorified Christ. So keep those things in mind, because there is a difference. Because again, our perception affects our belief. So if I'm going to say, oh, Jesus, just the crucified Christ, and that's what I'm leaning towards, I have a very good potential that I'm not going to be walking in the power of the resurrection to its fullest. And we're going to see how this plays out. The Jesus we identify with is going to be the Jesus that we limit or extend ourselves to. Limit or extend his power or and his presence and his Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. And hopefully that by the end of the series, our hearts, minds, everything about us is going to be open to the fullness of who Jesus truly is. And this is the problem for a lot of denominations sometimes, where we limit our understanding of who Jesus the Christ is. And as I said, as we get into this, we're going to see how that plays out. So today, we're looking at Jesus the crucified Christ. The crucified Christ. What are some of these specific attributes of Jesus as the crucified Christ? What does that mean to me? That Jesus is my crucified Messiah, Christ. What does that mean to me? Well, the first thing is, he carried the weight of my sin. The weight of my sin was carried upon his shoulders. Let's look at a couple of verses. 1 Peter 2:23 to 24. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds we were healed. Notice, we were healed. Means it was done. The weight of our sin, he's already carried. The weight of my sin that's yet to come, what I'm about to do in 2 hours from now, if not much, much, much sooner, he's already bore that weight, looking ahead in my life. He's already carried my weight, my suffering, so that I do not have to carry it. Isaiah 53:4 says this, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. We looked at him, what that means is we looked at him as in his carrying our sin as somebody rejected by God. Somebody smitten, beaten, slapped, you know, punched by God. Somebody who's been afflicted by God, been judged by God. He wasn't. He can't. What he did is he chose to take the weight of my sin. Think of a heavy metal ball and chain that you wrap around your ankle. How heavy that is. And if you were to have that around your ankle and be thrown in the middle of the ocean, you'd be sinking. He took that for us so we can float. And not just float, but float above. Float above. That weight keeps us down. Keeps us unable to move fluidly. To move aggressively. To move passionately. It also wears us down. He took that so we don't have to say, oh, I'm worn out today. I'm so tired today. So the question here, as Jesus being the one who carried the weight of my sin as the crucified Christ, is there any weight that I'm still carrying of my sin? Is there still any sin in my life that I have yet to confess to Jesus? Confess to God that I'm still harboring weight for. That's still keeping me, holding me back, weighing heavy on me for me to be freer, fluid in the way I live my life for God. I mean, you think about this. When you hold on to a lie, that lie has weight to it. Holding on to that lie means you are working to cover up that lie, to prevent the person who you're hiding that lie from it being revealed to. Therefore, you're not free to be yourself around that person. You will struggle to be yourself because that weight is holding you back. Same thing in Jesus. When we live in a state of rebellion, apart with our sin, still unconfessed sin, we're not moving freely in the Holy Spirit. We put a block on God because that weight is there. So ask yourself, what sin, its weight, am I still carrying that I have yet to recognize that Jesus already carried its weight? Because he's already done it. He's not waiting to carry our weight. He's already carried it. I just haven't realized that it's open. That chain around my ankle is unlocked, actually. All I got to do is just walk out. So think about that, and you're going to have an opportunity at the end of the service. Any unconfessed sin, to confess. Scripture says, confess your sins to one another so that you will be healed. There's actual physical, mental, and emotional healing with the confession of those sins. So he carried that weight, so I don't have to carry it right now. Second thing, as Jesus, the crucified Christ, he freed me for relationship. That eternal separation that happened with sin when it entered this world. He freed me from eternal separation from God. He freed me from that. He released me. He embraced me into his Father's kingdom. I am called an heir. I am called a son. I am called a priest. I am part of his chosen generation. I am called precious. I am called beautiful. All these things are what God sees when he looks at me. I mean something to him. I have been embraced into the family of God. Third thing, as Jesus the Christ, the crucified Christ, I have access to the Father. Before Jesus, you had prophets and priests and kings. They were the one who represented their heavenly Father to the people. People went through them to get to God. In the crucified Christ, I am given access to the Father. How was that done? Well, the most common example and the most evident symbol of this is what we read in Matthew 27:51. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. The moment Jesus took his last breath, the veil was torn of the temple. The rocks split, the earth shook. Some of you might know this, some of you don't. That veil that separated the Holy of Holies in the temple, where the presence of God dwelt, where at that time only the high priest can go in, that veil was roughly 60 feet in height, six stories. And the veil was 4 inches thick. So imagine the veil torn this way, from top to bottom. Not torn up, but torn down, from top to, as if God's hands took it and just ripped it apart from top to bottom. Now you and I have access to the Father freely. So looking at the second point of being free from eternal separation, and the third of now having access to the Father that we never had before in the crucified Christ, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. Do you feel apart from God right now? Are you feeling apart from God? Crucified Christ came to unite us with God, not keep us separated from God. Is your guilt or the shame you've been dealing with because of the weight of the sin that has not been confessed separating you from Jesus? Keeping you apart from Him? Is there something still separating you from a personal relationship and encounter with Christ? You cannot encounter Jesus and not be changed. What you do is you run away from Him. You don't know how many people, when we're in the presence of the Lord, might get jittery, might get uncomfortable, feel like they need to run sometimes, because the weight of sin or guilt or shame is eating them up so much that it makes them feel unworthy to be in the presence of God. Or the oppressive entities, the oppressive spirits that are bringing about those things in their lives are running away from the presence of Jesus. What that tells me is anytime you enter a place where people are worshiping, whether it's a church or a home or even a group in the park praying, and you start feeling uncomfortable, that's not the God in you. That's the devil in that's oppressing you, that's afflicting you, that's coming against you, that wants to keep you apart from the presence of God, telling you, get out and run. Get out and run. Most of you know I did not grow up in a Pentecostal church. I did not know how to encounter God. I knew how to sing hymns out of a book. And yes, you can encounter the presence of God in those ways. I've actually learned to encounter God even when I attend a Catholic Mass or an Episcopalian when we used to use the Episcopal Church. So it's not the style of worship, it's you, the worshiper. You, the worshiper, because you can encounter God if you are ready, if there's nothing hindering you from doing so. And you can be changed by the presence of God because He can speak to you directly in those moments. But what's keeping you? What's saying to run? And as growing up in a non-Pentecostal church, not knowing how to encounter God, when I would go to an Assemblies of God church or any kind of Pentecostal church, I would feel very uncomfortable. I'd sit in the back and not know what to make of it because I didn't know how to open up. I was like this. I didn't know how to just let loose and open my heart up and let the Holy Spirit come and fill me. I thank God that He's teaching me how to do that more. And I've still got a ways to go. But it's an awesome growing experience and learning to let Him flow. But the question is here, with the veil that is torn, the access is there. We have the access to the Father because of Jesus, the crucified Christ. But is there something still keeping you outside that door? Even though you're standing here looking and seeing the veil torn and seeing the Holy of Holies before your eyes, the fact that you can just step right on in and walk in there and be in the presence of God, something is still keeping you back here. Is it that unconfessed sin? The sin, the weight of that sin that's bringing about shame? Remember, guilt and shame are two sisters, two very, very evil sisters. Guilt, shame, and blame are triplets. You blame yourself, therefore you're feeling guilty, which means you feel bad about what you did, And then you start feeling shame, which means now you feel bad about yourself for what was done. They're triplets that you want to get out of your life. For when that veil was torn and we have access to the Father, I have access to say, Lord, here's what I placed at your altar. You died. Jesus, the crucified Christ, took away my guilt. He took that guilt. It's done already. That weight is done. He took that shame. I no longer have to feel bad about me because Jesus says, you're beautiful. He says, you're my son. You are co-heir. Come here. Sit at my right hand. Sit at the right hand of the Father with me. You are a prince in my kingdom. It's gone. So is there still something that you're dealing with? And we're going to give you an opportunity to deal with that at the end of the service. Repentance of sin, one sacrifice for all. Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was wounded for our transgression. This is the fourth point. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We are healed. He's done it all. And you know what? We focus on this when it comes to this area. We focus on the fact that he was wounded for our transgressions and he was bruised. But how often do we look at he was chastised for our peace? He's chastised our peace. By repenting, giving up that weight, by having that access in his presence, there is peace. Jesus, the crucified Christ, was chastised so that he can give us his peace. And as the Bible says, Jesus told his disciples, I don't give you peace as the world gives you. I give you my peace, the peace that passes all understanding. So I'm offering this up to you. See, outside of the presence of God, there's chaos. There's confusion. There's frustration. There's anger. There's bitterness. There's hopelessness. There's sadness. There's depression. There is no knowledge that is based on faith that God is in control. Think about that. If you say, oh, God is in control, but you're still in this state, those are empty words. In the presence of God is where we will find peace. And we are not limited by that veil being torn, being in the presence of God only in church. At any moment of time, we are in the presence of God. One of the things God is doing in my life that I'm absolutely loving is as he is increasing my prayer language and I'm entering into his peace, I'm finding myself more and more when I pray, be more natural to pray in tongues and in the Spirit than it is with words. I'm actually having to think more about praying in words than I am about praying in the Spirit. And at my job, and sometimes I have to drive clients to work, I'm driving them to work, and I have to catch myself because I'm praying the presence of God. I'm in his presence. Or at my job, or walking down the street, or I'm working out, and I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm in his presence. And I'm finding his peace in the midst of a chaotic environment. Apart from the presence of God, which he made access to us by that veil in Christ, the crucified Son, I can't find peace. He took pain. He took away the thing that keeps me from having that peace. That's what he bore. That's the chastisement so that I can have access to that peace. Fifth thing, Jesus as the crucified Christ, he sealed me with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13 to 14 says this, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance. Keep that in mind. With the view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory. What does that mean? Think about this. He was given to us by a pledge of our inheritance. Think of a telethon. They base their numbers on pledges. Money's not yet received, but the evidence of their reception was made through the telephone call. In being sealed with the Holy Spirit, when we accept the crucified Christ as the one who bore our weight of sin, who took away our shame and guilt, who we've confessed our sins to, who did all these things that we just talked about, we have been given the Holy Spirit to seal us as we wait for the full payment of eternal life in Jesus in heaven. We have the seal of eternal life while we are still on the earth. But we are sealed for also what's to come in heaven. That's what the crucified Christ did. He was a pledge. It was Jesus' pledge. And I love this. With a view to the redemption of God's own possession. That guess what? In paying the price in Jesus, the crucified Christ, when Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand, in him we get a view of the kingdom of God being at hand. That's what this means. We're getting a view. We're seeing it in front of us. The kingdom of God is right here. You start seeing his hand more. Today, the praises of his people, you, this morning, they were declarations of the evidence of God's work in our lives in his kingdom here on earth. If we were not sealed in the Holy Spirit, if we hadn't received Jesus, the crucified Son, we would chalk it up to luck or coincidence or some mystic whatever. But we know God's hand is at work here. We see his hand at work. We have given a view of how he works. In our worship, I don't know if there's anyone here who didn't feel the presence of God in this room this morning. And this was a view of what it's going to be like when we get to heaven, when we're in his full presence. All the time. So we are sealed for that. This is what the crucified Christ means to me, that I'm sealed to see that. I'm tasting and seeing. For 2 Corinthians 1:21, 22 says this, now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us in God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. Just reaffirming that he's given it to us. He's given it to us as we have accepted this. So the question here is, this is about security. It's about knowing what I know, that I know, that I know. That I'm standing strong on this. That no matter what happens in my life, that even when I make a mistake in life, and difficult times befall me, frustrations and struggle before me, I know that I am still sealed or secured. That seal, when a king puts that seal of his ring with wax on a piece of paper, that's it. It's written, it's law, it's done. There is no debating it. When you go and have those raised seals on official documents, that makes it official and no one can debate it once that raised seal is on there. Learn that the hard way this week. It's sealed. It's proof of what is real, of what's been established as authority. And that's what the crucified Christ has done. I have that security of knowing it's there. So the question, where are you struggling in your security this morning with Jesus? Am I secure in the knowledge of being sealed in the Holy Spirit? Or am I one day saying, God loves me today, but then tomorrow when things are not as happy as I'd like them to be, I'm going, God hates me right now. He's rejecting me right now. I'm too ashamed and embarrassed to even be looked at by him right now. I'm not sure if he's really going to do this for me right now. Or in our being sealed and secure, we can stand boldly and declare his word and promises boldly. See, that's what that says. When I have that seal and I say, hey, look, there's no doubt about it. I have this sealed right here. No doubt. Nobody can debate it. Nobody can take that away from me. Therefore, whatever I declare that is based on that seal, whatever I stand on that is based on the truth of what that seal upholds, is fact. It is authoritative. So anytime the devil attacks my mind and says, you can't, I can say, I'm sealed. And I stand on what that seal represents. I'm secure in the knowledge of what that seal represents. And that my God is greater. He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. And I need to transform my mind in the thoughts of him. And that's it, of his word. I don't have to argue with the devil. Notice the more often you argue with a fool, you start looking like a fool more. You don't argue with the fool. You don't argue with the devil. You stand on the word of God. And you stand on the fact that you were sealed in his Holy Spirit. And you just state it, not debate it. You declare it, not argue it, in faith. And you do it. And the last point here, in looking at Jesus as the crucified Christ here, is that he brought forth a new covenant. Hebrews 9:15 says this, for this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant. So that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who've been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Basically, this new covenant says this is how you get to God. This is the way that was made, to put it in plain English, to get to God. The old covenant wasn't working too well. People were not listening to the prophets. They were not listening to the kings. They weren't doing things right according to the priests, and the priests and the kings and the prophets were at times abusing their privilege, their blessing. And they were fallible, whereas God is infallible. So this new covenant was perfect, is perfect in Christ Jesus, the crucified Christ. And therefore, he is the mediator, the one who helps us understand, who helps us fulfill. You take an issue and you go to a mediator, and the mediator helps you to figure out how to work through that issue in a way that benefits both sides. Guess what? Jesus mediates between the Father and us in a way that's mutually beneficial. It is God's heart that all men, women, and children come to know the saving grace of God and live with him. That's what he created for us to be like initially. But we sinned, and therefore we've been apart from God ever since. But Jesus now mediates so that it is mutually beneficial to both of us. God gets his heart's desire, which is for us to be in fellowship with him. And we get our heart's desire, which is to be in a relationship, eternally in heaven with God. But also the blessing of the kingdom of heaven is at hand, right in front of us. We have access to the Father now. No longer is there a bridge or lack of a bridge separating us between the gaps. He is the mediator of this new covenant for us. This is the crucified Christ. So as mediator, he helps us understand the new covenant and all that it means and how to access the Father fully. So the question here then is, why is it important for us to stand with the crucified Christ? Why is it important for you as an individual? What does it mean to my life to stand with the crucified Christ, knowing that he bare the weight of my sin, that he set me free from eternal separation, that I have access to the Father, that I can receive that peace that he was chastised for in my repentance of sin and be healed in those things, that I am sealed in the Holy Spirit, that he mediates and establishes this new covenant between me and my Heavenly Father that's eternal. What does it mean to my life? And how do I apply this? How do I apply this to me? And what does this mean to me in fulfilling God's purpose in my life and in my ministry? Mentioned 6 different areas here. Are you struggling in any of those areas today? Is recognizing that your weight's been carried? And have you given him all that? Acknowledged it and stopped carrying it? Do you realize that you're free to access the Father? That you're no longer separated? Or is that still a struggle? Are you still struggling with that peace? And do you struggle with insecurity? Insecurity is not from God. That's a lie of the devil. For I am secure in Christ Jesus. Are those things something you're struggling with today? In a moment, we're going to have our prayer team up here, and we're going to pray for those things over you. The fact is, we need to recognize what it means that he was the crucified Son. He was the crucified Christ. There was a purpose to his crucifixion. And that purpose had to do with all these things, this renewal that needs to be reestablished, and this covenant that needs to be made full in our lives here today. Next week, we'll take it to the next step and build on. Now that I've accepted all the things and recognized fully who the crucified Christ, what that means to me, we'll go to the risen Christ. And we'll go a little deeper in our relationship with Jesus. Because this is only the beginning. Unfortunately, most of us stop here. But we're going to go further. But we need to get here first. And to get to this point, we have to work through those areas and make sure we are 100% cleared from within of those questions, of those things in our lives. So right now, I want you to bow your head. I want to let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And just ask him.